When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Off the ball. Rugby.
When Connacht, their skill set under Andy Friend and now under Pete Wilkinson and the rest of the coaches there, they were always a good side to watch, and you love to see that ambition.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Club Championship Show on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB, proud sponsor of the Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. Hashtag the toughest.
You are very welcome back to the Club Championship Show, here with thanks to AIB, the main sponsors of the All-Ireland Club Hurling, Football and Camogie Championships. Plenty to chat about today. The Camogie semi-finals took place last weekend. Darren Kelly is going to be with us a little bit later on. Sarsfield's hoping to win 3 All-Ireland Club titles in a row. We've got the semi-final lineup now complete in the Hurling Championships following the provincial finals from last weekend. And we've got a host of football. Cara Finn beaten by St. Bridget's in the Connacht decider. And we've got the last two provincial football finals this coming weekend, where we will find out the champions in both Munster and Ulster, with Kilmacook Rokes, the All-Ireland champions, safely through after being crowned Leinster champions at Croke Park last weekend. Delighted to say, Ash O'Reilly is here with me. How are you, Ash?
I'm good now, Will. How are you?
You were busy last weekend. You got out to 3 provincial finals in the end. You got to the doubleheader at Croke Park, and you also got to see Ballygunner. We'll talk about the hurling in a little bit, but Ballygunner look impressive, don't they?
They do. They absolutely do, yeah. It was a joy to watch them, just the way they play hurling. They spray the ball around the pitch, and I think the conditions that they're playing in and their first touch is still on. They're still able to catch the ball as cleanly as ever. You know, I often think that's very difficult in such cold conditions, because it really was down in Semple Stadium. But yeah, they were absolutely brilliant. And so were Clonlara as well. They really put it up to them. They went for it, so it made it a good game. Look, I know the scoreline was the scoreline, and it absolutely was, you know, a flattered Ballygunner, but they were absolutely worth their win for sure. So yeah, it was a great game, and yeah, very enjoyable. And it was nice to be back in Semple Stadium as well.
Not bad to get Semple Stadium and Croke Park into one weekend. But the Hyde was the venue for St. Bridget's becoming Connacht senior football champions again, overcoming Cara Finn in the end, 113-2. Delighted to say that we've got Maurice Brosnan from the Irish Examiner with us as well. Maurice, how are you getting on?
Well, that's it, yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading your analysis piece, and you made a very good point, which is often forgotten about when we're picking player of the game. We instantly go towards the player who has scored the most, and naturally go, they've had the most impact on the game, so therefore they should be player of the game. And that's often the decision that's made. But you've been highlighting not just Brian Stack's performance on Gary Sice at the weekend, which is really important for Bridget's, but also the fact that he has been in incredible form all year.
Yeah, and well, it's human nature to us. The nature of this championship, and especially when you're going week to week and game to game, or like Ashton there cramming 3 games into one weekend, it's very hard to reflect on this stuff and looking at it into the minutiae. And you know, it takes a couple of rewatches to realise the effect of a guy like Brian Stack. But his form this year has been kind of sensational. From the very first day in Castlebar, when the horrific weather, Mayo played Roscommon, went over to Ryan O'Donoghue and kept him scoreless from play, did the same thing to Shane Walsh a week later. They actually lost that game. Went into Croke Park on Colin Callaghan. I think you can see 2 points off him. Niall Murphy scoreless. A week later, they played Kildare, Derek Irwin. Derek Irwin caught a mark. He actually, when I went to watch that back, Brian Stack wasn't marking him when he caught the mark, but it's kind of one of those ones that falls in the in-between. And then obviously against Cork, there was no Brian Hurley, so he went to the biggest danger man, which is Stephen Sherlock, and kept him to 2 points too. So he's been kind of consistent. He's given the most thankless job, which is going to the best opposition attacker, the absolute danger man, and effectively trying to take him out. And at the weekend, I thought it was, it's funny, you know, you watch a game like back like that, and Ben O'Carroll gets man of the match, and he was a sensational, and he's an absolutely exceptional footballer. But you after you watch it back, I was trying to think, is that what won Bridges the game? If we were to pick out one decisive factor, was it the fact that Ben O'Carroll got the better of Liam Silk and therefore that was the added up to a 5-point margin? And it wasn't. That's not what made the difference in this game. I mean, if you want to go into the real detail, nitty gritty of it, I think he scored 1-4 from penalties or frees. He scored 3 points off Liam Silk. Liam Silk scored a goal off him. One of those points actually wasn't even on Liam Silk. It was a kind of quick turnaround and Conor Cunningham ended up marking him at the time. But the difference for Bridget was the fact that they dropped off the kick out. They forced Conor Finn to kick into kind of a set defence and then they hit hard. They'd run it small over. Roy Fallon and Paul McGrath, two wing backs, I thought were exceptional for that, just driving, taking men on. And at the heart of that defence that was able to swallow all back and then shoot it right back at them was Stack. So it was kind of demonstrative of why Bridges to me won the game.
I wonder at this point as well, are we starting to maybe finally respect cornerbacks? Because I was listening to the Football Pod with the lads this week and they were asking both Paddy and James, Tommy was saying, what's the most underrated position on a Gaelic football pitch? And they both picked cornerback. Those that had to track them during their own career. And even watching a few games in recent weeks and seeing the job Hugh Lawler and Mikey Butler have been doing in the hurling for Auchlan Gaels, having a very good man marker who can shut down the danger man on the other team has maybe sometimes been a little bit underappreciated.
And it's funny, I kind of laugh. I remember if you go to look back on last year's championship and nobody's going to tell me it was a good championship and the quality of football was particularly progressive. So the immediate thing that anytime you're analysing a defender or a cornerback, the immediate thing that would come up is kind of a caveat. Oh, well, they had all the help. They had, look at all the men they had in front of them. The art of defending is dead. One-on-one defending is gone. And then post-COVID 2021, that first championship when the scoring totals were absolutely booming. And it bled into 2022 when we saw the number of goals was the highest since the 80s. What was the immediate criticism of, oh, the art of defending is dead. Now that they don't have any help anymore, they can't stand up one-on-one. And sometimes this is to do with the conditions of a game. You know, it can be very hard to, especially at the time, trying to actually, the conditions didn't necessarily suit a cornerback at that stage because we weren't necessarily policing steps. We were left in one-on-one isolated space against some of the best forwards we've ever seen. And then on the flip side, when they have the help, the same thing comes again. So, and also, Brian Stack wasn't, it's not a one-on-one matchup. And that's why it's hard, going back to your original point about defenders, it's not like you're looking at him specifically and saying, okay, that was the difference. It's he's a key cog in a collective. Like it is a collective effort where, to the extent where he might come out, like really clever footwork, stand up an attacker, force him out to right, and then immediately somebody else is coming to get the block in. It's them as a unit, how they defend, which was the reason that they won it, but which makes it a lot harder. And you're trying to pick out who exactly was responsible for that collective effort. Whereas when a guy drops a shoulder, takes his man on and puts it over the bar, it's very, very obvious who did the action, who you're going to credit for that. And that probably feeds into another reason why they might be slightly underappreciated.
Yeah, when I think of Bridget's 10 years ago, I think of something similar. They were very good at collectively defending, being difficult to break down. And then they had star players like Frankie Dolan and Senan Kilbride, who eventually got them to an All-Ireland Championship. This time around as well, like they look a very difficult nut to crack. And Cora Finn have got one of the best, if you take how much talent they've got spread throughout their team, how good Cora Finn are usually at running through the lines. This was an incredibly impressive Bridges defensive performance, not even focusing on one individual, but collectively they defended wonderfully.
It did, and it's
as a team, I think you add in on top of that Canaan and Eddie Nolan in midfield who anytime they were forced to go along, they were more than willing to fight for that ball and actually end up doing it really well on Bernie Powers' kick out, like put that under a huge amount of pressure. It's part of the problem is if you think about what was Bridges' game plan at the weekend, and it was, we're going to concede the kick out, we're going to let it tap short. So, and then Cora Finn are a kicking team, they want to kick the ball, so they move fast. But because when they hit that, they're into the opposition's half, they're looking up and there's a set defence there because that there wasn't that press, you couldn't get out quickly. And Cora Finn are still kicking that ball because that's in their nature, that's the way they want to play. So they're kicking ball into a set defence and Bridges could just swallow that. And then all these powerful runners coming from deep, they're well able to kick the ball in transition if they need to. So they had that down to a fine art. And then on top of that, you add in just these incredible kind of little moments of, Gary Sykes lobs in a ball into the top of the square and Rory Fallon just soars in the air and plucks it out of the sky. And just these kind of moments where it was spread, again, go back to your point, it was spread across everybody. And then on the flip side, I think they were hamstrung big time, Will, by the nature of their year, which is that it was all about a Galway title. They wouldn't have been expected to win a county title. If you go back to the very start, that their first group game this year, they absolutely destroyed Sawtill Knocktacara, and their best player that day was Jason Leonard, who was kind of a focal point, a centre forward, and he went travelling. Ian Burke obviously went travelling. The player who filled in for both of them was Dylan Canny, who was arguably their best player in the group stages, and I think he tore his hip flexor at practicing freeze before the final league game. So you pull those three out, you're trying to fill those gaps. You've kind of developed a nice style of play that has worked extremely well in the last couple of games, and Bridges just lined them up. They knew exactly, they had their homework done. They kind of forced them to adapt, and you saw Kieran Malloy come on at half time, and they tried to adapt, and they just weren't able to.
Was it a case that they just, Carafin just didn't show up, or they weren't allowed play?
The latter, I think. I don't think it's fair to Bridges to say that they didn't turn up, and they were, at the flip side, they were flat, actually. There's no getting away from that. Even just be away from tactical stuff, just technical stuff, the very first 10 minutes where hopping a ball that probably wasn't on, or hand passes going astray, passes going out over the end line. A couple of very weird fouls. The foul count in this game is kind of remarkable. I think Carafin conceded 10 more frees than Bridges did, but you wouldn't, geez, it'd be hard to take issue with any of them. I mean, it was just kind of players taking on their men and getting fouled, or just kind of sloppy, like Jack McKay putting an arm around the shoulder, or even Liam Silk, who was such a huge loss for Galway last year, conceded two kind of weird frees that wouldn't be like him. So there was something off or right that they just didn't come in flat. They didn't expect maybe Bridges to be as good as they were. But on the flip side, a lot of the reason that things went as badly as they did for them was because of what Bridges did, was how good they were. You want to talk about tackling, their tackling was so disciplined, especially in the first half. I think they only conceded one, you could argue was a scoreable free in the entire first half, which was the Gary Sice one from just outside the 45 that ended up dropping short anyway. So they didn't concede from that. They were just an incredibly disciplined team. And, 5 points, it arguably flattered Carafin, you could actually argue. The only thing I would say, though, is that there was a moment that I can't believe there's not been more made of this. There was a moment in the second half where it was just, I don't know what happened here. I don't know if you saw this on TV, lads. It was an obvious point, an obvious Carafin point, but with over the bar. I mean, I was sitting in the stand alongside Frank Roach from the Independent, and the both of us were looking at us like we'd lost our minds. It was so clearly that the ball went over the bar. And for whatever reason, between the umpire and the linesman and the referee, they all got it wrong. And I think at that stage, Carafin were two down. So suddenly you're thinking, wow, they're about to come back in here. That's going to make a difference. Now, I don't think, if you add it all up, I don't think it would have made a blind bit of difference in the grand scheme of the game. It was just a very weird moment. There's a lot of things that didn't click for Carafin on the day.
Yeah. Those in Kiltoon can put the feet up now for the Christmas, enjoy their Connacht title, and maybe scout what happens in the Munster final this weekend. I mean, this is an intriguing one. I was reading Paul Gainey last week, who was saying, you know, how delighted he is to be around for Dingle this time round as opposed to going away for the summer, and the opportunity they now have in a Munster final up against Castlehaven. I suppose the Gaelic Grounds has been debated as the venue for this one and whether it was the right place to go, but how do you see this game going on Sunday afternoon?
Well, it's not the right place to go. Like, no. There's no getting away from that. Like, I do think as an association, we're too quick to dismiss what should be the main priority, which is match going spectators and people from, I think it's a 4.5 hour round trip from Dingle to Castlehaven. You're talking 6 hours minimum for a round trip for supporters to go to this game. So it's not, I don't think it was, I spoke to James McCarthy, the Castlehaven manager, in the week, and he said they were more than happy to go to Fitzgerald Stadium. That would have been perfect for them on Saturday afternoon. Apparently not having lights for a TV game was the issue, according to him. And that's why we ended up in Limerick. It should be said, Dingle, the fact that they played their semi-final there, they actually did an overnighter for that game. They stayed up to cut the journey and make the most of that. So I presume they'll do the same this weekend. It's a nice, I think it's a lovely final, a great novelty around this to see the West Cork versus West Kerry and Castlehaven, who have, I think it's 26 years since they last won a Munster title. Dingle and everything that comes with that would be brilliant. Two really good forward lines. You've got the Gainies on one side, and you've got the Hurleys, especially Michael Hurley, who has really come into form this year, kind of seems to have found a run of fitness and is absolutely flying. They're two teams that will, I think, match up pretty well. On your Paul Gainey point, the year he's had is kind of remarkable when you consider the fact that he went from, you know, playing as that extra man in the full forward line for Kerry, scoring a great goal, probably could have had two goals actually in that All-Ireland final. Mm-hmm. And then he goes back to Dingle, and suddenly Barry Donald Sullivan jumps for a throw in and does his ankle, and Liam O'Connor is also injured, and Mark O'Connor isn't back yet, and Paul Gainey finds himself in midfield in a club championship semi-final and dominating, like playing in a totally new position and absolutely thriving. It just goes to show the reliance on intercounty players for a club team. So it, I think that this could be a really good game. I thought last Sunday, I thought that kind of final was a great game as well. But I think the way these two teams match up, the way they want to play football, their forward line's on display, it should have all the makings for a good surface, which is, I suppose, is a plus for the venue thing. It should all add up to a fairly exciting game.
Yeah, should be really good. Morris, thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks, lads.
Aisling, elsewhere in the football, we know the other side of the draw as well. So you were watching Kilmacud Crokes against Naas. Kind of one of those funny ones. You have to marvel at Shane Walsh's performance, first of all, and the goal, the build-up towards that goal is just absolutely exquisite. But if you're Naas, you probably feel the scoreline is quite harsh at full-time.
Oh yeah, that it was 7 points. It wasn't a seven-point game. And Shane Walsh, as you said, he got 1-8 in the end. So you almost look at that game, if you didn't watch it, and say, okay, man marker on Shane Walsh and we'll do a job. But it wasn't the case. Like, Paul Mannion was probably kept quiet by his standards as well. And they do have strength and depth throughout the team on the bench as well to come on. But it definitely wasn't a 7-point game, that's for sure. But they've probably been getting better and better game on game. You know, we've seen them struggle even to get out of Dublin this year. And they've really came into their own now, and they've had a day in Croke Park. You know, they've got a feel for all of that again. They love being out there. They love that space. And Craig Diaz was back as well for them. He was there in the middle of the field. You could feel his presence straight away. He popped up with a score in that first half. So they do really have these, you know, influential players, but at the same time, they all know how to play as a unit. So they're a brilliant team, but Naas definitely will feel that the 7 points, it wasn't a 7-point game. They put it up to them. Their game plan was working. They were putting 13, 14 players back behind the ball. They were breaking a pace, which is a hard thing to do in Croke Park. They were popping up and they were getting the scores, but probably looking back, they'll say, look, a few of them dropped short and there were tired kicks and things like that. So they'll look back with probably a bit of hurt, but yeah, it's Kilmacud. They're the reigning All-Ireland champions. It's hard to beat them.
Yeah, it feels like they're building into the year. I think as well for Naas, they've got a strong shout to say they're the second best team in Leinster for the last 3 year period.
So oh yeah,
they lost to Kilmacud in the final a couple of years ago. They lost the quarter final where they conceded goals last year, which was a real problem, 3-14 to 14 points that quarter final. And now they've lost a provincial final where they were 2 points down as that game ticked towards injury time. And Walsh scores the breakaway goal and that kills the game effectively. So, I don't know. I think I'm with you on Kilmacud. I think it's getting to a point now where they're building into the year. And for so many times over the last two seasons, it's been a case of Paul Mannion wasn't fit. So they had Walsh, but not Mannion necessarily. There's the possibility coming into January, those two are going to be in full flow. And that's going to be very difficult for either Scotstown or Glen to try and stop in a few weeks' time.
Oh, well, that's so exciting. Scotstown or Glen, you know, that's going to be a massive game. I know everybody is thinking we'd love to see Kilmacud and Glen. It could well be it, but Scotstown are a brilliant team. I was at the game against Trillock. I seen the one against Cuckoo as well. You know, they are a really, really solid outfit. So, you know, I wouldn't bet against them going all the way and winning that Ulster Championship. But yeah, we would love to see the Glen and Kilmacud for everything that happened last year. Mm. But either way, I think Kilmacud, this is a massive test to get one of the Ulster teams. You know, we know what the Ulster teams possess. You know, defensively, they're solid. They have the scores as well. And there's a lot on the line from last year as well. So they want to get one over if it is Glen. So, yeah, it'll be massive for them. But that'll be the big test to get over this.
If it is Glen, you say. Like, you saw the preliminary games and you've been at quarters and semi-finals in Ulster in the last few weeks as well. I think the feeling really is that Glen are probably going to come through.
It's a tough one. I don't know if I've seen the heights that Glen have got to last year just yet, but maybe they're going to peak at the right time. Scotstown, they when they're on it, they're on it. You know, to knock Kilcoo out, who were flying this year, they were in really good form. It wasn't a case that Kilcoo weren't at their best. I really thought they were flying this year. Now, they didn't put in the best performance against Scotstown, but maybe they weren't let.
Well, you saw them against Derry Gonnelly Harps just before that, and they were in full flow.
They were. And even through the Down Championship, you know, they won that relatively easy enough compared to other years when they really struggled to get out of there because it's so competitive. So yeah, it's a hard one to call, but Glen maybe for the experience and that they have, but Scotstown really want to get an Ulster title. You know, they've heard about all the club men who've did it before them and they said they're sick of listening to all of them and all the, you know, the titles they have. They want one of their own. You feel maybe with Jack McCartney hasn't been firing for them yet, to be honest, but he's due a big performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really is. So if they get everything right on the day, you know, I wouldn't bet against them. It's a really, really tight one. I know I'm not giving an answer here. I'm sitting on the fence, as they say. But yeah, I suppose Glen is hard to beat when they have that experience and the hurt the last year's All-Ireland as well.
It's a comfortable fence. Those two provincial finals this weekend, by the way, Letic Grounds 4 p.m. for the Ulster final and a 2 p.m. start at the Gaelic Grounds in Limerick, which as Morris has already alluded to, not ideal for teams from West Kerry and West Cork to be going to Limerick. But that's a 2 o'clock game. Both those matches are on TG Carr this weekend. Switching focus to the hurling, Ballygunner, we kind of touching it off the top, but just some of the stats you look at here throughout the championship so far. So that's now 3 Munster titles in a row. They've now lost the most Munster finals, but also joint won the most Munster titles. So it probably speaks to the dominance that they've had. Again, look, they get the goals to go 13 points up, and 13 points is the gap at the final whistle as well, despite how well Clonlara played at various different stages during the game. They're miserly, though. Like, they've kept Clonlara there to 17 points. They're keeping other teams to 12 points in provincial games. It's not just the Ballygunner attack. It really feels
all
like a whole system here.
Yeah. Like, the athleticism in midfield, how solid they are defensively, and then this flair up front, which is so impressive. Like, it's rare you get to see that, even at inter-county level.
They remind me of Limerick a lot, the
yes,
way they move the ball, yeah, but also they can go in long to the full forward line as well.
And they love that long ball because they trust their inside forwards. And why not when you look at the full forward line? You know, it's so impressive. And as you said, like Limerick, because they know where each other are, they know the ball that Desi Hutchinson wants. They know exactly what he's going to do. If he's running out in front of his man, they know, okay, he's going to make space there. They just know because they obviously have done it for so long. Mm. 10 Waterford Championships now in a row. It's just incredible what they're doing. They're a joy to watch, to be honest. And yeah, they really want to get back there to the All-Ireland. Everything that happened with the All-Ireland semi last year, they want to get back there, but they're going to be a hard team to beat because of that flair. And they as I said, know how to play. And it's not always the best player on the pitch that, like Desi Hutchinson, we always talk about. He is brilliant at creating that space and laying it off and assisting. And he did that time and time at the weekend.
Eddie Brennan made a very good point at the weekend. And obviously this was a veiled dig at the way that Waterford used him much further out the field. He kind of said, who knew Desi Hutchinson is lethal when you put him near to goal?
Yeah.
But not just his finishing. As you say, he has been excellent throughout the championship at recycling the ball out to teammates, his runs occupying defenders. He is such a tricky customer.
That's it, because people are so aware of him. So they, you know, you're going to mark him. He's a man marker. He's someone that you're, okay, we need to keep him quiet. Mm. But all the assisting that he does is just incredible, really. He could have went for a good few shots against Clonlara that he said, no, there's a man in a better position here. I think it was their first goal, if you watch that back. Such a team goal. Came the whole way from defence, the whole way up the pitch, and just back and forth. And as I said, their first touch in those conditions, I always just think it's like glue. And, you know, not to completely write off Clonlara either, really did enjoy watching them. And I enjoyed that they just went for it. They went out and they played hurling, the hurling that they play. And they didn't say to themselves, look, we'll park the bus and try to be defensive here, because how else are we going to beat Ballygunner? You know, I spoke to John Conlon after the game and he said, we just wanted to go for it. This is massive. We're in a Munster final. We never thought we'd, you know, be winning a Clare Championship this year, because they had struggled in previous years. So it was a massive occasion for them as well. And look, they're against Ballygunner. I think they just appreciated the skill that was on show too.
Yeah, I mean, look, great sharing around the score as well. Paul Manny 10 points. Mm-hmm. Kevin Manny gets 1-4. Desi Hutchinson 1-1. Has got a hand in the other goal. Peter Hogan manned the match with 4 points. You got to speak as well. I will hear from them now to two of the Mahony Burge, Dunk to Park and Phillip after the game as well at Semple Stadium.
Yeah, super. We've had plenty of days here in Turles coming home after being beaten at Munster final. So to win one, never mind 3 in a row, is brilliant. But we're so happy. They're a great day for the club to see all the happy faces out there. It makes it all worthwhile.
Absolutely. And Pádraig, for you, you know, as a club as a whole, to be having the success that you're having, 10 Waterford titles in a row, all the success in Munster, and hoping to get back to that All-Ireland final, I'm sure.
Yeah, look, I suppose when we were young kids coming up watching the older generation at Ballygunner, we dreamt of doing stuff like this. And, you know, maybe when we're finished up in a few years' time, we'll look back and say how you know, incredible it was. But right now we're just trying to, I suppose, make the most of when we're here. And obviously we're going to enjoy it tonight, and then obviously get back down there fairly quickly and get ready for 2 weeks.
Yeah, what's it like to do it together? And obviously a lot of brothers and families on the team. What's it like to do it with one another?
Yeah, it's brilliant. But look, it doesn't matter if they're your brothers or your friends. We've all went to primary school together and we know each other very well. But yeah, look, it's special. But as Pádraig said, they're the type of things you kind of don't focus on in the moment. You probably look back in years to come and say, yeah, it was brilliant. But we just have to enjoy it tonight and, as Pádraig said, crack on again for 2 weeks.
What is it about this Ballygunner team, like the skill out there? It's at inter-county level, like a lot of people in the press box would say that it is on the next level for a club. What is the difference, do you think, Pádraig?
Well, look, obviously number one is the coach, and like we have a top quality coach and team there, and we have for a number of years. And you know, I suppose the structures in Ballygunner right from juvenile level are right, and that, you know, probably plays a big part in it too, the coaching. We were getting underage, and obviously there's a, you know, very competitive bunch in there then as well, where obviously, you know, we have 15 lads there, and there's probably another 20 or 30 lads there that could easily be a part of this panel, and they keep driving things on. So yeah, that's probably one or two, a couple of the main reasons.
And is there hurt there from last year in that All-Ireland final? You're hoping to get back there?
Yeah, look, every team now at this stage of the year is trying to get to that stage in Croke Park, but we haven't really looked past the next game in front of us. We've been on 2 weeks consecutively the last few weeks, and it's no different now for the next day. Barrett, we have a trophy coming home in the bus.
So what will the celebrations be like? You get a few days now to celebrate, or?
I don't know, we'll have to see now when we're inside in a few minutes. If you listen in there to the dressing, you might hear. But no, look, we'll definitely enjoy tonight anyways, and you know, I suppose we have a short turnaround, so we'll have to get back down to on the training field fairly quickly. But as I said, look, we're trying all our lives for these days, so you'd be a fool not to be making the most of and enjoying it as much as we can.
Yeah, it's important to enjoy it. They don't come around too often, and as you said, in years gone by, you'll look back and you'll say, Jesus, I wish I did go out and party and enjoy it.
Yeah, like, part of the reason you play is to enjoy it after the game, so you have to, as we said, I don't think there's a club in Munster that's lost more Munster finals, so to go back and celebrate it with the people from your club is something that you have to do and cherish, because these days won't last forever. There's been probably teams here before thinking it might, but it doesn't. You look back at the history of the competition, and as a club, Ballygunner can tell you more that more than anyone, so we'll enjoy it tonight, and as Forrig said, get back on the road again this week.
Man, he's saying all the right things there, Ash. You know, one step at a time, a couple of weeks till the next game. The only thing is, bridging that gap is very different for the hurling teams and the football teams. So if you're a football team right now, you know you're not back out until early January. But if you're in the hurling, the fixtures came out on Monday evening. They already have to focus very quickly after the game the day before, because you got to still be at a peak, and then you've got a month to fill afterwards. I'm not sure which is better. Maybe it's better if your semi-final played before Christmas, but it means if you're a hurling player, you need to be in the zone for these next 2 weeks, as opposed to any idea of maybe even switching off for a few days and coming back in the new year.
Yeah, and that's tough. It's Christmas time. You know, they've had a long year. A lot of them in with the county as well. And even the club season, you know, if they're not in with the county, they're still with the club training hard. So it's very difficult. I think when you win a provincial title, it's a very special occasion. You should be able to be out and celebrate it with friends and family around Christmas time. And then at the other side of the year, then you're coming into 2024 and you can look to, you know, you're always going to keep yourself right anyway. They're athletes, you know, they know exactly how to look after themselves. So they're not going to go too mental. But I think to have the shackles off a small bit and be able to enjoy their Christmas and then look to the semi-finals would be what I'd like anyway. But yeah, either way, they're happy enough. They're in All-Ireland semi-finals.
We had Brian Hogan on Off the Ball on Monday as well. And what a story. A guy who's been on the selection committee the last 2 years, legend of the club, ends up taking the job himself. Had to be convinced a little bit because he's in the middle of doing an MBA. He's got a young family, only in his early 40s, decides, all right, let's try and beat Ballyhale Shamrocks, one of the best teams of all time, and win a Kilkenny Championship. They win that in remarkable style. Paddy Deegan, for me, has been just incredible. Yeah. He scored the winning point in that game. I thought in the semi-final, he did a lot of hurling. But again, like we're talking to Morris earlier, you look at the forwards who got the scores and they tend to get man the match. Again, I thought he was a force of nature against Nafina at the weekend, scored 5 points. Great final. Mark Bergen, last minute, basically getting the free. We were talking to Paddy about this, that he'd missed a free for his school back at Croke Park years ago, almost from exactly the same spot where he hit that winner from. So a kind of a little story of redemption in the middle of all that as well. And O'Loughlin Gales, the new Leinster champions, winning 22 points to Nafina's 118. Nafina, first time Dublin champions, doing so without their best player who's been injured throughout. Mm-hmm. I think Nafina could be a live option in Leinster again next year. So we know that they're going to Navan to play against Cushendall on Sunday week. Cushendall beating Sloughneil. This is a bit of a surprise. Cushendall had kind of got out of jail a little bit against Portaferry, played very well in extra time, but needed that late Neil McManus goal to score it. And now they're Ulster champions for the 13th time. And again, McManus leading the scoring, got 8 points in the day. You had Shea and Eamon Casty scoring goals for Sloughneil, who maybe didn't play as well as they have in some of the finals in recent years in Ulster. But Cushendall now coming out, they will be dreaming to do what happened with Dunloy last year and get themselves to an All-Ireland final. Have to overcome the Kilkenny champions in a couple of weeks' time, which is always very difficult. I think, Ash, the biggest struggle sometimes is just kind of bridging that gap between Ulster and playing one of the big teams in the semi-final.
Yeah, and we saw what Dunloy did last year. You know, they'll be probably disappointed to not be in the mix this year, but even to get over Sloughneil, it's always the team in Ulster, isn't it? In Camogie, in Hurling, you know, they definitely have that strength and depth there, and to get over them will give them such massive momentum now. But yeah, coming up against O'Loughlin Gales, They were brilliant, you know, they They're like a Kilkenny team. They never give up. Even when Fianna had took the lead, you know, coming near the end in normal time, you know, they just kept the heads. And as you said, that Mark Bergen free in the end.
I thought when Curry scored the goal,
that was it.
The momentum had gone into Fianna's
They
direction.
Had the momentum. They definitely did. But at that point, then it was, they got the score straight off that immediately. And that just shows you the team they are, the character that they have. And yeah, it meant a lot to them. I think they're going to enjoy this one. That is the vibe that I got. You know, they couldn't believe they were there. They just were like, this is amazing. This is exactly what we wanted. And yeah, they're going to be tough to beat. And having the day out in Croke Park and all of that too, you know, I think all that's going to stand to you. Is that an advantage? I don't know. It could be. But yeah, they really were a great team. But I haven't got to see a hell of a lot of Cushion Doll. But look, we know all about Neil McManus and what he can do and the team as a whole. And as I said, to be the Ulster champions, it's not easy to beat Loch Neil. So
kept them scoreless for 20 minutes during the game as well, which is incredibly difficult to do. We've got the Camogie final lineup complete now as well. And Dixborough of Kilkenny, Leinster champions, in Dreamland, through to an All-Ireland final, beating Loch Eil, who you'd been very impressed by in the All-Ireland final last year, 2-13 to 1-10. And we had the Battle of the Sars as well, Sarsfields of Galway against Sarsfields of Cork. And it was the All-Ireland champions, the back-to-back All-Ireland champions, who came out on top, 2-10 points to 1-6. To talk about these semi-finals, we got Darren Kelly with us, who was on commentary duty with Galway Bay FM last weekend as well. Darren, welcome along to the show.
Thank you very much, Will. How are you keeping?
Keeping well. If we can talk about the Sarsfields game, and Sarsfields versus Sarsfields in this case. Again, this is very, very impressive. Siobhan McGrath, we've been talking so much about the important goals that she scored over the last kind of 3-year period. Again, very important this time around. Ciara Donoghue getting a goal as well. And this was a game that was incredibly tight, even at halftime, just 1 point between the sides, 7-6. So it was maybe that little bit of extra guile from the Galway champions in the second half, was it?
Yeah, well, I think the experience of Sarsfields probably told in the end. Galway Sarsfields, of course, in the game, because they got off to a good start. Then Sars from Cork reeled themselves back into the contest. And as you mentioned there, those two goals in the second half were very, very important. Like Siobhan McGrath's goal there, which got a runner from the 45-metre line, burying the ball into the back of the net. As good a goal as we've seen from Siobhan McGrath. And she's had many, many good goals, as we've all seen over the years. And Ciara Donoghue had a great performance from herself as well, finishing off a move that Rachel Murray in particular would have set up when she went on the run too. Overall, regarding Sarsfields, look, will they be overall happy with their performance? Not, but you have to take into account as well that they probably hadn't got a serious test in Galway. They lost a group game to Athenry back in September. Since then, they had big wins against St. Thomas's, against Mullia, and a 12-point victory against Ardmore Mary in the county final, and that took place back about 6 weeks previously. So into the side, it was about getting key scores at key times, pretty much at the cliche, just win the semi-final. They got off to a great start with 2 points, Ciara Donoghue and Clodagh McGrath. A lot of people worked very, very hard in the game for Sarsfields. Like even on local radio, I think it described it as a perfect, imperfect performance. There was lots of sevens out of tens without that big performance as such. But that's what Michael McGrath would have wanted from his team. Get the job done. Their defence worked really, really hard. Now, they know themselves. They gave Sars from Cork 3 big goal chances at the close of that game. Even though they had a cushion, if one of those had gone in, it might have been a nervous finish. But they'll take an awful lot out of the game, Will, because that's the test that they needed going into the All-Ireland final.
It's remarkable continuity they have over this last kind of 4-year period or so where they've been so successful, because you mentioned Hopper McGrath being there and kind of being the driver behind this team. A lot of the players have been around for this run that you've just run off in the mentions there. And I was in to Laura Ward, who was on with you guys in Galway Bay at the weekend, talking about the adventure and how she had the pain of losing out to Kilkenny in Intermediate All-Ireland a few years ago. A lot of the same names keep popping up along the way. It's probably no great surprise that they have been as successful as they have been in recent years.
Well, they were very, very young when they broke through. Like, they reached the county final, I think, back in 2012, when they were still, the players we're talking about now were still kids, and some of them were underage. But as you mentioned there, from when they won their first county title in 2016, like, they won 7 now, and they've been in an All-Ireland final every time they've gotten now. Galway, our Drans beat them in the county final 1 year or two. They have that experience. Any of the All-Ireland finals that they lost, the 2 to Slot Neil, the 1 to Hour at the Ballack, they were close enough as well. They had a slow start against Ireland to Ballaghan at the late 2020 final too. And they're a very, very settled team. But saying that too, they have a good squad in place. Like, they've missed players every year. Niamh McGrath's the standout name out of the team this year. But last year they didn't have Orla McGrath and Sarah Spellman, for example. But they still managed to have a very, very settled team. Start with Laura Glynn in goal. You mentioned Laura Ward. And one thing as well, Will, I want to say about Laura Ward. She picked up an injury very early in the semi-final against Sarahs. We did not think she was going to make it through the game. Not just did she get time to run it off, even though she came out the field for a bit, and Mark Lucy Allen, she thundered into the contest in the second half. In front of her, you've got Maria Cooney. I don't know how many times we've talked about Maria Cooney's dominance as centre-back. For years, Galway teams were playing her in attack, which I could never understand why, because from underage, she was a class A defender and has proven it since she went back into the back six. Clodagh McGrath's revelled in midfield, partner in Sarah Spellman. And up front as well, while we talk about, say, Siobhan McGrath and Clara Donoghue and a few other players I've mentioned, everybody else contributed, like Caoimhe Kelly, Shannon Corcoran. They've really settled into the starting team. They got 2 points apiece on Saturday. Orla McGrath mightn't have scored the last day, but she set up three important scores, including that goal from Siobhan McGrath. And even on the bench there as well, those players have lost their spot, come back in. Cora Kenny has been injured. She came off the bench the last day too. So they're a very, very well-oiled machine, our Sarsfields. Like, they're together now 7 years and they're still very, very young. Like, very few of them have gone past 30. So if they can maintain it, and it's a long season when you take county players into account, if they can maintain it, they're not going to be going away any time over the next couple of years.
No, it's particularly long though when you consider the championship that was delayed and now the run they've had on these 2 years as well. It's kind of been 12 months on and on and on from January of a couple of years ago. So it's a lot of camogie that's been played in a very short period of time. For Sarsfields of Cork, will the disappointment for them be that they had played well in the last 10 minutes of the first half, but then kind of weren't able to kick on in the second?
Yeah, I think that's a fair way of summing it up. Like, they got off to a bad start as well. And what you don't want to do in any situation like this, especially when you're coming in as the underdogs or coming up against an experienced team, is to concede a head start. And there were 2 points still down in the opening 2 minutes, 5 points to two. Now they rallied into the game. Kate Fennessy didn't start for them. It was a big blow with injury. You know, she did come off the bench in the second half. And one thing was impressive about them is when Siobhan McGrath got that goal on 42 minutes, Sarahs hit back themselves and got the goal through Kate Fennessy, who'd come off the bench as well to bring it back to a 3-point ball game. But that was the only score they got in the second half. They did have a lot of goal chances. They did ask questions. They did probe Sarsfields. They tried to get their matchups right. Look, it was their first time there. They've been knocking at the door in the Munster Championship. They've been consistent in Cork the last couple of years. They'll leave with some regrets, but they'll learn an awful lot from the game. But realistically speaking, if you only get 7 scores, even this time of the year, you're not going to win many matches.
No. Look, Sarsfields have had that experience now of Nolan Park and Croke Park over the last couple of years. It's going to be a new feeling for Dixborough when they get there. They're on this remarkable run at the moment. Like, what a run to get to a final, to beat a St Vincent side who I saw firsthand a few weeks back, who looked really impressive when they beat Burr in the Leinster semi-final. And now they've overcome a Lochiel team who pushed Sarsfields all the way in the All-Ireland final last year. And this is some run by Dixborough to get to an All-Ireland final.
Yeah, and throwing St. Martin's in the Leinster semi beforehand, and they were up in Croke Park only a couple of years ago. I've been very, very impressed with Dixborough's attitude and the way they conduct themselves, and even looking at some of the players, which we'll talk about in a moment. But even the last day, they were 5 points down. Now, they got off to a good start with a couple of early scores. They got off to a good start in the second half, got themselves back in the game, and they kicked on very, very well and put in an impressive performance. And that's what they've been doing all year. Like, they'd be, I think there was 4 Kilkenny finals out of 5 that they've been in. Finally made the breakthrough in Leinster, but as you said there, Will, beating big teams on the way too, and stepped up to the challenge. And even at half time there, like, Lochiel Shamrocks will look back in last year and think they might have left an All-Ireland behind them. They've been red hot favourites, even 186 points at half time. But then Ashton McCarty with 2 goals, the second a great run down the right as well. Amy Clifford stepping up with big scores in the match, including that one at the end of the game. Aoife Prendergast, I think she's got 40 points in the last 6 matches, a real leader, as is their captain Jenny Clifford. They're in Croke Park for the first time as a club team. A lot of their players, though, we've seen them there, and Ashley will have talked to them many times in representing Kilkenny. Like, even there this year, like, you look at Aoife Prendergast, she captained Kilkenny to an All-Ireland in 2022. Even if she didn't start the game, she started against Cork this year. I think Ashley McCarty and Jenny Clifford came off the bench. You have a couple of other players like Caoimhe Dowling and Ciara Phelan that played in the 2021 Intermediate All-Ireland Final. And I haven't even mentioned Lucinda Gahan yet, who captained Kilkenny in 2020 as well. She'd loads of experience. Orla Hanrick back in the team as well. She soldiered for many years, has played in Croke Park. And it's players like that that Dixborough will really depend on leading into this All-Ireland final, just to deal with the occasion, deal with everything that has to come up to the game. But, and I've been saying it to many people down in Galway as well, Sarsfields will go in as favourites for this game, and rightfully so. They're going for 3 All-Ireland titles in a row, but you never rule out a Kilkenny team in Croke Park. And we know down in Galway, plenty of experience of that on the club and the intercounty stage over the years. As I mentioned already, Dixborough can start like they started both halves, like they started many of their games this season. They'll put it up to Sarsfields. That's what Ireland the Balloch did, and granted they were a more experienced team in that delayed 2020 final. You need to put Sarsfields on the back foot. Sars and Cork last week never really put Sarsfields on the back foot, even if they ask questions. But Dixborough are capable, if the providing that the club players that don't have that Croke Park experience, if provided it doesn't get them and they get off to a good start, they'll be contenders in this game, but they need that start. That's key for them. They do not want to be chasing Sarsfields for 60 minutes in Croke Park.
No, I don't think you can afford to go 5 points down like they did at the weekend in Ashburn. But the flip side to that is, like, what a response to make early in the second half. Because if you're looking for a response, you put in 1-1 without reply at the start of the second half. Next thing is back to a more manageable scoreline at that stage. So, like, that shows a lot of grit and determination from a team to come out firing like that.
Yeah, and the attitude as well, as I mentioned too, like, you know, 5 points down, first ever All-Ireland semi-final, it's against the team that were runners-up last year. It's very easy to let it go. But, like, it's great to see there with Donal Carroll and his team that they really trust each other. They're a very settled side as well. 14 of the 15 have started every game since their Kilkenny quarter-final as well. And they just backed themselves as well, getting the scores when they came. And when they got the first goal from Asha McCarty, they were right back in the contest at the three-quarter stage. It was all to play for. Now, in fairness, it was still all to play for in the closing stages. They got a late 1-1 to gloss up the scoreboard, and Lochiel missed a couple of frees that might well have forced extra time in that game, but they got themselves back in it again. And what you're looking for a team is always starting well, shaking it off. That's what Dixborough did the last day. That's why they got themselves back in the game and eventually won it.
Yeah, for Dixborough it feels like that they're a team that are playing with a lot of confidence, Darren. They, not that a team like that hasn't been involved in this before, you know, in the All-Ireland series, but then I look at Sarsfields and I think, are they getting better and better year on year? And are they actually in a better place than they were last year? I don't know how you feel. Are they playing better, Camogie, than ever before?
And they're playing as good as ever before, Ashley, and I think is the fairest way of putting it. Like, Sarsfields now, they're a team with plenty of experience, and they've used that on occasions when they've had to, including last Saturday, when they were being put under pressure. They found the answers to get points, even 2 points at the start of the second half from Clara Dunhue and Caoimhe Kelly, just to keep themselves in front the whole time. It's, look, with Sarsfields, they'll be looking at the matchups around the field. We've talked about the strength down the middle at the moment. When you say start with Laura Glynn, Laura Ward, Maria Cooney, then up front Orla and Siobhan McGrath. You know, they've good players flanking them at the end, and they're some of the matchups that Dixborough have to win. And, like, guessing matchups at the moment might be a challenge there as well, but Dixborough have players that can ask an awful lot of questions. Even looking here in front of me, like, you know, Tara Clifford and Caoimhe Dowling, can they handle the two McGraths? Amy Clifford was moved back to the 40 now. I think she started the season at full forward. Orla Hanrick back in the team there as well. You know, they'll gain those matchups, and they're the key matchups to win. For Sarsfields, you know, they've been very, very consistent over the years. They're playing with that assuredness about themselves at the moment. But as I mentioned, they can be got. Like I mentioned, Attenroy beat them in the county championship this year, but they've responded as well. And they know what they have to do. They've been through this before. It's their 5th final in a row, 7 final in total. You know, they'll go in very, very confident. But Dixborough, again, if they can continue displaying that belief in themselves that they've been doing all year, they're going to be close enough. But like Sarsfields, yeah, you're going to have to play well to beat them.
Yeah, the Kilkenny against Galway rivalry renewed in a couple of weeks' time. Darren, thanks a million for joining us on the show.
Well, Ashley, an absolute pleasure.
Thanks, Darren.
So it is nicely set up for this weekend. We've got 2 football finals to look forward to, which will complete the brackets now for the football semi-finals. We've all our hurling champions in place, so they can look forward to the semi-finals in 2 weeks' time, along with the Camogie finals. It's going to be ladies' final weekend as well. Mm-hmm. So a busy period to come here in the Club Championship show. We're going to be talking to some of the players that are going to be involved in both those hurling semi-finals and in the Camogie finals next week. You can podcast the show if you missed any of it, of course, on the OTB GAA podcast feed, wherever you pick up your podcasts. The Club Championship show here is brought to you with AIB. They are the main sponsors of the All-Ireland Club Hurling, Football and Camogie Championships. and check out the hashtag The Toughest throughout the championship as well. We'll speak to you next week.
The Club Championship Show on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB, proud sponsor of the Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. Hashtag The Toughest.